Crowds of mourners gathered during the night outside the church in Detroit, where Aretha Franklin started singing as a child. The soul star died of cancer yesterday at the age of 76. President Trump said her work would inspire generations to come. The broadcaster and music historian Paul Gambaccini with us this morning. Paul, good morning to you.
Well, good morning to you. And that's the first time I've ever followed Donald Trump.
Yeah. Goodness help you as well, some people would argue. So Aretha Franklin, what have we lost, Paul?
The greatest popular music female singer of the 20th century, period. I would say the greatest classical female singer was Maria Callas, but that's another conversation. Aretha, quite simply, was similar to Bach in the 18th century and Mozart in the 19th century. You hear her and you think, how did they do it? They were in touch with something commonly called the divine, something spiritual. Now, in fact, she did, as you say, grow up within a church home. Her father, the Reverend C.L. Franklin, was America's largest seller of recorded sermons. And all the great gospel stars came to their home in preparation for singing at his church. So she met such people as James Cleveland and Clara Ward and Sam Cooke and Mahalia Jackson. And indeed, can you believe this, warmed up the congregation for Mahalia Jackson when she was a child. Now, wow. Smokey Robinson says he first saw her perform at the age of 4 when he visited the Franklin home. So it was like learning a foreign language in the home, hearing it when you are a child, and then when you're an adult, you can speak it. And Mahalia and all the others obviously rubbed off on Aretha, who was then, as an adult, able to express herself with the fervor of gospel, informed by her own personal pain. Oh my gosh, I hear you say, here we go with another sob story. No, let's face it, no one seeks to have a child before she is 14 years old. No one seeks to be beaten by her husband. She suffered pain in her personal life of a sort which would be headlined today, but in those days was kept under wraps.
She had two children before she was 16, Paul, didn't she?
Yes, one child by 14 and then another one. Yes, we were both right on that one. And Time magazine in 1968 made her the second black woman to be on the cover, the first having been the tennis star Althea Gibson. And this article talked about her marital difficulties, and it was quite controversial because in those days you usually didn't lift the lid on things like that. But we all knew that Aretha was not the luckiest person in love. Her two marriages were both curtailed, and she said after she had given her incredible performance at the Kennedy Honors, which is the one everybody Googles for Natural Woman, and she said that part of her inspiration for that performance, in addition to her love for Carole King, in addition to her love for President Obama, was that she was thinking of a man who she had in her sights. Now, the man didn't even know it. He was Mr. Mystery. But even at the age of 73, which she was when she gave that famous performance, she was firing on all cylinders. Let's put it that way.
Was she happy in her life with those, you know, if you've got someone you love and it's not a nice home to be in, did she find happiness in her life?
Yes, I do believe so, because you read the familiar line, she was surrounded by family and friends, but she was. Remember, she had children. They were now grown. She had grandchildren and nieces and nephews and godchildren and her fellow artists. And also, don't forget, she did play a behind-the-scenes role in the civil rights movement. We've heard a lot today about how she sang at the funeral of Martin Luther King. But while he was alive, now this is the interesting part. Yesterday, one of Martin Luther King's team said that on 11 different occasions, they were only able to meet payroll because of money Aretha Franklin had given them. Now, we didn't know that until yesterday. Wow. She didn't brag about it. It's like George Michael being a secret philanthropist. She did many things to help the civil rights movement. And to think that she both sang at Martin Luther King's funeral and President Obama's inauguration is an incredible generations-spanning curve.
Did she have a reputation, Paul, for being difficult to work with?
With me, she did. but I'll explain why. She was known as a diva, but she was entitled to being a diva because it led to her getting the results. She was actually a very homey type person. She liked to stay home, watch soap operas, eat pizza, and then she would go out and be Aretha Franklin. Well, I hosted the Nelson Mandela 91st birthday concert at Radio City Music Hall in New York City, and there were many great artists, including Stevie Wonder, Alicia Keys, and so forth. And she was the ultimate diva, let's just put it that way. She made more demands than anyone else, but they just said, well, that's Aretha. Because
what type of things did she do? What made her the ultimate diva? Things like what?
Okay. She was the only artist who demanded to have her own musicians instead of the house band. Then, a day before, she canceled, because you know she hates flying. And then she thought, oh dear, it's Nelson Mandela, I'd better do it. So they had to rebook not only her tickets, but her band's tickets. Well, of course, these are expenses that come out of the charity. And reduce the take. So then she gets there. Now, I didn't mind this, but she was the only artist who didn't want me to introduce her. She wanted her own introducer to introduce her because it made her feel more comfortable. And she knew what he was going to say. And then she didn't come in time for rehearsal. So she was going to do two songs, and Josh Groban was going to do a duet with her on You Raise Me Up, a song you know very well, I'm sure. So Josh does the rehearsal. Then the evening performance comes along, and they meet on stage. And Josh goes, "You raise me up." And Aretha goes, "You raise me up." And the audience goes wild. And then the second line, it happens again. Josh sings it, then she does the high riff. And I see in Josh Groban's eyes the realization, oh, I get it. This is going to be call and response. I do the line. Then she repeats the line in her own register, in her own way. The audience, of course, not knowing that this was spontaneous and unrehearsed, thought that this was Aretha Franklin doing this great gospel bit on the spur of the moment. Well, actually, she was. You see, this is what we have to acknowledge. It was a nuisance for Josh Groban to have to carry the can, as it were, but nonetheless, Aretha came through. And she did something else that was quite incredible. She had said she would do two numbers in addition to the duet with Josh Groban. One of them would be Respect, and then there was another one. Well, she dropped Respect, and she went into this brief speech. Now, Nelson Mandela was watching on the Internet because he was at that point too ill to attend. And she said, "Mr. Mandela, I'm wondering if at some point when you were a child, a strong woman like your mother or Winnie Mandela." Well, at that point, everybody backstage just shrank in terror because Winnie Mandela was at that point she who must not be named. Anyway, she said, "Your mother or Winnie Mandela say," and then she gave the title of a song which no one had ever heard, which was about speaking up. And so she then did this song about speaking up, and everybody thought, all right, yeah, great, fine, Aretha Franklin, that's nice. And then she starts to walk off, and she gets as far as her piano player, who goes, do-do-do-do-do-do, and she goes, "I think I've got it." And the guy, man who was calling the show, the director, was sitting next to me off stage, on stage right, and he said through the headsets to everybody in the crew, "We're having a moment. We're having an Aretha moment." And I said, "It's going to be a long moment," because it was the end of the song Spirit in the Dark. Most of the people there weren't quite that familiar with that gospel song. And she did this scintillating ending of Spirit in the Dark, which had not been on the running order, and added 90 seconds to the running time, and we were already running over. Again, this has consequences for the charity. So she comes off. And she sits next to me. She's the only artist who doesn't go back to her dressing room. She's just sitting there next to me, holding her purse. She had gone on with her purse. She was holding her purse. She didn't want me to hold her purse. And so then...
Do I get the sense you maybe didn't click with each other, Paul?
Well, it wasn't that. It was just that I was completely irrelevant to her. I acknowledge that, and I don't mind. She was Aretha Franklin. You know, when you're an MC of these events, you're a traffic cop. You just want to get people on, get people off, have the thing run successfully. And so then she sits there waiting for Stevie Wonder because the finale is going to be Happy Birthday, the Stevie Wonder song, and she's going to go on stage with Stevie Wonder. And so she does, holding her purse. And when the show's over, there was an old friend of mine in the audience, and I saw her afterwards, and she said, well, Aretha had a nice purse. That was her reaction to the show. And I thought, what is this with the purse? And then I see the Kennedy Honors clip. And you've seen it, I know, where she comes on for Carole King. And she's got her purse and the fur coat. And she puts her purse onto the piano. And I'm thinking, what is this with the purse? So the clip goes viral, and the New Yorker magazine interviews her and asks her, what is this with the purse? And she says, when she was a child, like Chuck Berry, the promoters were not always honest, and she had to ask for the money in cash before the show. She would put it in the purse, and she would never let go of the purse.
Ah!
And to this day, she never let go of the purse.
Paul, that's what I like about you. You know, we really do get an insight into the person we're talking about when we talk to you, Paul, and we're very grateful for it. Thank you very much, sir.
You're very welcome.
And good to talk to you again.
Thank you.